Well, greetings in the name of Jesus. Privileged to be here this morning. Let's begin with prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here. Thank you for each one that has come this morning. And we thank you that you are our Father. You love us. You sent Jesus to die for our sin so that we can know you. We just thank you, Lord, for being our God, that you care for us. You know the needs of our hearts this morning, and we just pray that you would speak to us, draw our hearts close to you, teach us more about you. And I pray that our hearts would be soft, that we would be turned toward you, and that you could have your will and your way in our hearts this morning. Pray that you would give me the words to share and just help me to share clearly what you want me to say this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I was thinking about today, it seems to me that I often see. Thank you. Okay, we all like blessing in life, right? Everyone wants blessing. Everyone wants to find happiness, peace, rest. You know, we can go down a list of blessings. We want to be blessed. We want to know God's blessing. We want to have a life that is good, that is happy, that is free from destruction, free from loss. It's not fun to lose things, to not have what you need. That's not, you know, so we're all looking for that blessed life. We would agree on that this morning, I believe. But then I also, it seems you see people who, you know, they want that. We all want that. And yet, they make decisions that are against what God says. And they begin to reap what from that wrong decision. And you can see the hurt that it brings, the loss that it brings, the damage that it does. And you can see them wrestle with that. And even as children of God, you know, this thing of sowing and reaping, it's something that none of us can get away from. The law of sowing and reaping is what God has placed. And there is no person on the face of the earth that can escape that. Life will go on. Life moves on. It's moving one way. We don't get to go back and to reset. We don't get to go back upstream. One day I was sitting by the Susquehanna River and I was watching the river. And in the water, you'll see pieces of log or sticks, and they're floating along, and you can see the water carrying it. And everything in the river is going one way. And that spoke to my heart that day. As I sat there, I realized this river is like my life. It is going in one direction. There is no going back upstream and starting over. It is going one way. I cannot escape this law that God has set of sowing and reaping. What we do today, we will reap tomorrow, and we cannot escape it. This is why it is so important how we live, because we cannot go back. We cannot redo it. We cannot get another life to live it again. We get one shot at life, and that's why we need to make sure we're careful how we live. For Christians, maybe, you know, this thought of the principle of death, you know, is this sowing and reaping. Maybe it's just one area. Maybe we're surrendered to God and we're walking with God, but maybe there is one thing that is not completely surrendered. Maybe there is one problem we have where we're holding on to something of myself. Maybe I'm sowing in a wrong way, in an attitude or an addiction, or, you know, in just one area of my life. Maybe a lot of my life is good, but there's one part where I'm sowing something that is wrong. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. The blessed life of the Spirit of God, we will reap everlasting life. Romans 6, Brother Darrell had spoke on that chapter, and he had read the verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. And this cannot, like we said, cannot be changed. It is the law that God has placed. Sin will always bring death. It will not just sometimes bring death. It will not just bring death for some people. Sin will bring death. And it's for all. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is a way. There is a way to, if we find death in our life, if we find that there's choices we made that are bringing death, that are bringing loss, that are bringing trouble, there is a way from death to life, and that is the gift of God through Jesus Christ. We can look at our nation today that we live in, and many people, different people I've talked to lately, they realize they say it's quite the times. It's, you know, I didn't think we would see this, or, you know, we are in quite of times. It's amazing what we see. But, you know, I believe it's what Jesus talked about. He talked about the end times. He talked about he told the disciples, you know, many things that they were going to see. And we're seeing those things today. And he said not to be afraid. And I believe the only way back is humble repentance. The only way back for this nation or for any nation to receive blessing from the Lord is to repent. It's repentance. This won't be fixed with stronger men, bigger ideas. It'll be fixed when people repent and when they're humble on their knees before the Almighty God. That is the way back. That is the way to find life in place of death. We can see God's heart when he dealt with Sodom and Gomorrah. These were cities that were, the wickedness was just so great. And God dealt with the whole city, with both these cities. In Genesis 18, verse 20, it says, "And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave." Very grave. Their sin was so great. And the end of that was, we can see in Genesis 19, where Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And he saw and behold the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace. So God judged these cities for their great wickedness. God will judge sin. He will judge sin. But we can also see God working with another city called Nineveh. And Jonah was called to go down there, and we know he rebelled and he had to learn a hard lesson. But he went and preached, and God had given him a timeline of 40 days. But after Jonah went to preach to Nineveh, we have the testimony in Matthew 12 where Jesus said, "The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here." Nineveh repented. They put on sackcloth and ashes. They repented. It was genuine repentance. And God did not destroy them. We can see God's heart in Ezekiel 33, verse 11. "Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel?" We see the heart of God. He's saying he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but turn. Repent. Turn. And that is still God's heart today. God didn't change. He wants us to turn, to repent. If we are finding death working in our lives, if we are losing, if we find that we're losing that blessed life that we want, then let's look at our heart and be honest and repent and turn. I believe one thing the devil doesn't want us to see all the ways that he works this death in people. You know, we're talking about death, but this death is, you know, a spiritual death where you're losing value of life. You're losing something. Death you lose. In death we lose. The life is gone. It's lost. It's passing away. We say people passed away. Their life has gone out of them. It's done. And the same way, in a spiritual sense, Satan wants to bring death in our lives. And he wants to take all that blessing out of us. He wants the blessing to be gone, to be passed away, to be finished. And leave you with heartache. But what are some ways? I'm going to read James chapter 1. You can turn there. James 1, verse 12. Here, James explains to us a little how sin works. James 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So there he tells us how when we're tempted, he said God doesn't tempt anyone, but we're tempted when we're drawn away by our own desires and enticed. And when those wrong desires are left going there in our heart, it's going to bring forth sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And that is that law that we talked about, that cannot be escaped. So what are some ways? Just let's open this up. Share some ways how Satan will work death in people's lives. How does he do this? Bitterness, unforgiveness. And how does bitterness and unforgiveness bring death? How does it kill that person's life?
Well, it's a little bit like the quote I've seen, and I think it was mentioned here before on a church sign here recently, is bitterness is a little bit like, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but the idea is that bitterness is expecting the other person.
Drinking poison.
Expecting the other person to die from it. And it's robbed our peace, our joy. And it robs us of relationships, even.
So true. One day I sat with an old man, and he was a bitter old man. And this man was alone, and he was bitter at his wife. And he got old, like we all are. And there was no family around him to care for him. He was a lonely old man. Bitterness, it will rob you. It will bring death.
The devil will tempt us to fail or sin. And then when we do sin or fail, he'll accuse us and just run us down. That can be an inward thing inside our heads, and it can also be an outward thing where he's using people to condemn and ridicule and run down rather than providing. Because when we fail, there is a way out. But the devil will condemn us in that place of failure.
Okay, the devil, if we do fail, the devil is condemning us. And he'll try to make it look like there is no way out. Like he'll tell you lies, like you went too far, you're too great of a sinner. And it's not true.
Lies and selfish living. Along those lines, I'm thinking of a man that I interviewed this week that he's in his 50s, 60s probably, and he's never been married. And he's never had children, and he's living with his girlfriend now, but he said, I just never had an interest in having children, and that's his personal choice, but I've pondered that some over the days since, and I thought, people like that, how they can live selfishly, presumably there'd be selfish reasons, and then years down the road, they're the ones that suffer. They get old. They die without a family around them. And who is there to support them? And I realize this may not be totally in a spiritual context, but I think that's a way that the devil can also rob us, is through the lies and deception of living selfishly.
Lies and selfish living.
I think that whole thing of lies is one of selfishness is one of the biggest lies that's out there. Because, you know, you look at marriage relationships and, you know, if I take care of myself, if I, you know, watch out for me, if I, you know, that's a really popular thing to make sure that you're taken care of. You know, make sure that you're, you know, what you stand up for yourself. You don't lay down your life for someone else. And it's such a wrong set of thinking. You know, it's a lie from the very pit of hell, that when we seek our own, when we seek what's good for us first, that we'll be well taken care of. But it doesn't work that way.
Okay, so, yeah, the selfishness destroys. There's a verse says how about lending to the poor, how God will give it again. God's going to give it, you know, and as we give, God will bless, and you'll have more than that. That's the truth. But Satan tells us the opposite. Keep it to myself. Don't be a giving and a sharing person. Yeah, and it steals the life, brings death. Are there more?
Pride is another one.
Pride.
The devil wants us to think that we're really something, and once we start thinking that, we start thinking we don't need God in our lives, then also we come to a place of thinking we don't need anybody else in our lives, we just got things under control on our own.
So how, thinking about death and this losing something, what is that proud man, what does he lose? What is he lacking?
Lacking a brokenness and a lack of realizing his dependence on God.
I think in the verse it says, God resisted the proud, but give grace to the humble. He's missing God's grace and God's fulfilling and God's, you know, coming after him. He's losing that. And I tell my boys, you know, if you guys were playing with an ant, a little tiny ant somewhere, and you began resisting that ant, okay, and said, that ant is not going to go over here where he wants to go. I said, is there any chance that ant's going to make it? And they laugh. They're like, no, of course not. An ant's, you know, a little tiny ant is not going to get past my finger. If I say the ant's not going there, he's not going there. And I said, that's like God resisting you. You know, if God begins to resist you, you're not going to go there. You know, you're not going to make it. Whatever you do is not going to prosper. And it says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So, and I said, to the same token, if you tell that ant, if you take that ant and say, he's going to make it up the tree or wherever he, on the wall, wherever he's trying to go, is he going to make it? Yeah, of course, you'll get a stick, you'll lift him up, you'll put him there. You know, that's a picture of what a man's losing with pride.
Very good.
I Linda was sharing that, I was trying to think of a picture or drawing I seen this week that really, really stuck in my mind. And that it was along these lines, I don't remember the exact words that were shared with the picture, but it was along the lines of, you know, one thinking he stands, and lo and behold, he fell. And it was a picture of a man in armor, in a solid metal, you know, mail coat of armor. And he had just little slits where you could see out of his armor. And it was that one place that the enemy got the arrow in, is right in that slit. And it was because, you know, I'm not sure if it was even along the lines of pride, maybe. You know, he thought he had it together. And it was that one area the enemy was able to get him in.
People generally do not choose to do what is evil and wrong, but Satan has a way of making it look like the right and the good thing to do, like he did Eve in the Garden of Eden. He got her to thinking that it's a wise way to be wise, desirable in so many ways, look good.
But Satan will use deception to paint his trap, to make his trap look like it's going to be so good for you, and it's not. It's there to hurt you. It's there to kill you. It's there to destroy you.
Satan tries to sow, of course, he plants seeds of doubt in our minds that God is not everything. And if he can get that seed to grow, it will destroy us, because God is everything.
So Satan will try to put doubt in our mind. I'd like to read some verses here where it just talks about things that bring us to death. And I have a list of them from Proverbs here, and there's a lot here about an ungodly woman being a trap to men. Proverbs 2:16-18. It's talking about wisdom, listening to wisdom to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. Remember, these words were written from Solomon, a man who had more wisdom than you and I, and had much experience. So let's learn from him. I believe God put these verses here for us to learn. Proverbs 5:1, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. And her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. Proverbs 7:21, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Ecclesiastes 7, I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are as fetters. He who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be trapped by her. So here it's talking about, it's giving so much wisdom. Wisdom's crying out to men. Don't be trapped. Don't be trapped by an ungodly woman. And pornography would be right there. Don't be trapped. It's a trap from Satan. And he will use it to bring death in your life. Proverbs is a wonderful book to read. It's so many things you can learn. If you read in Proverbs about wisdom, and wisdom in chapter 8 is talking about how wisdom says, I was with God. I was there beside God when he was creating the earth, when he gave the sea its boundaries. I was there. Wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from God. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to be wise, we need to open our heart to God. He's the source of wisdom. We must know God if we're going to be wise. Because wisdom is from God. And at the end of that chapter in Proverbs 8:36, it's like wisdom is speaking. It says, but he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. If we hate wisdom, if we don't seek wisdom, if we don't seek God with our whole heart, it says that we're going to wrong our own soul. And if we hate wisdom, we love death. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Maybe it's a trap of drinking. Maybe it's something we think we can do this. We think we can handle it. But it tells us here, it warns us that wine is a mocker. And that people, it's saying who, there are people who are led astray by it. Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. You know, is that an area? Is that, as a wife, you have so much influence. You have opportunity to build your house or to tear it down with your hands. The way you live each day in your home is so important. The way you talk to your children is so important. The way you care for your children, the way you care for your husband is so important. You get to build your house, or, says the foolish, will pull it down with her hands. Maybe it's the love of money, greed, that's bringing death. 1 Timothy talks about that in chapter 6, verse 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Sorrow. That's talking about this death. Sorrow. Pierced themselves through with many sorrows because they were greedy and because they loved money. And it says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It will bring death. Some of the ones we already spoke of are listed in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. It will bring death. It will bring death. Are there any more that you thought of?
I think the Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever forsaketh, confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." I think Satan often gives us a lie that if we keep our sins hidden, if we're not quite honest, if we try to justify our actions and our behavior rather than saying, yes, I was unkind, or I was self-centered, or, you know, rather we try to hide our sin, to hide from it, in even very subtle ways. He gives us a lie that if we hide from our sin, we can somehow avoid the consequences of it, and somehow we can escape it, and that's just a lie. God's way is you confess it, you be honest, you be straightforward with your failings, with who you are. You don't try and create an an image of something else, because that you will not prosper. There's no good. God sees right through that, and so it doesn't have consequences whether you hide it or not.
Yeah, Satan will try to, he will bring death to us if we, in telling us that lie, that to cover up our sin, hide our sin, don't tell anyone about it. But that's opposite from what God says. He says, there's a verse tells us to confess our faults one to another. Why? That you may be healed. That you can be healed. He wants to heal you. And he says to confess our faults one to another. Confess. When we bring it to the light, to God's light, then we can be free. And your heart can be so free when it's just all out and you just share where you're really at. Bring it to God, share it with someone else, and find healing.
Comparing ourselves among ourselves, I do bring it to that, because not only does it lead to hypocrisy or trying to be something we're not, but we're missing the thankfulness of being who God created us to be. And I really wonder how often that actually drives the love of money and greed, where people are looking at somebody that's more successful, trying to keep up, trying to, keep up with the Joneses, I guess.
Yeah. So comparing ourselves among ourselves could be a trap that brings death.
Along with that, was just mentioned is the thought of men pleasers, and that often is driven by pride. Men want to be accepted. And so we try to do things to please people. It can be a vicious cycle. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, it says, but as servants of Christ do in the world, God from his heart with goodwill doing service as the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive the Lord, whether he be bond or free.
So serving the Lord and not men. We're not here. Our primary focus needs to be to serve the Lord, and that we're pleasing, our life is pleasing to Him, and not so concerned about what others think of us. So there is a way from death to life, and that is through Jesus, as we shared before. Another verse from Proverbs says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death." The fear of the Lord will turn us away from the snares of death. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. We can see God's love, his heart to redeem. In the well-known verse, John 3, verse 15, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God wants to give you this eternal life. He wants to give you that abundant life. He wants to give you the blessed life that we all want. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, not experience that death, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him might be saved. He wants to save us. He wants to save you. He wants to save me from this death, from experiencing this death and this loss and this the heartache and all those things that sin brings. He wants to save us from the reaping of sin. John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." In a spiritual way, that we would not hunger, that we would have everything we need. We'd be satisfied in him, not hungry. Satisfied. You ate that when you just sat down to that Thanksgiving lunch. You're like, you're full. You don't want anything more to eat, right? This is what Jesus wants to do for your life. He wants to give us, he said, "I'm the bread of life." Why? So that you don't need to hunger, you don't need to thirst anymore. I'll give you everything you need. I'll fill you up to the top. And your life's going to be blessed when you're in me, when you're after me, when you're eating me for your bread of life. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Again, he says, "I'm the light." Does any one of us like to stumble around in darkness without a light? What a terrible feeling. You can't see where you're going. If there's things in the road, you don't know what you're falling over. You can't see. But he said, "I'm the light. I'm the light. And if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness, but you're going to have light on your path. You're going to have light." He said in John 10:9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." He said, "I'm the door." Jesus is the door. The door to blessing. The door from the prison of death. He's the door to life. "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." He wants to give you abundant life. Jesus, talking to the woman, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Death, the natural death, is no more fear. It's just death. Though he may die, you're going to live again anyway. You're going to live when you're found in me, Jesus said. It's just the dying of the natural body. It's not such a big deal when we have Jesus. Because he's the resurrection and the life. Revelation 3, verse 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Jesus is the water of life. He is life. John 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. A verse from Psalm 116, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why? Because there's spiritual life. Because when we're found in Christ, when we are experiencing life in Jesus, living surrendered to him in humility before the cross, we will have life in place of death. We will have life in our spirit. And even though our body dies, we have life eternal. And it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So, Jesus has come to provide the way from death to life, the way that we can stop experiencing death in our life, stop experiencing loss, stop experiencing all the heartache that Satan will bring to us. And Jesus offers that to every man, to everyone. And if you're here and you find that there is a death working in your life, you are experiencing death, you are reaping death, God loves you. And he wants to change that for you. Jesus wants to make that different. He wants to give you life. And if you need to find another person, a brother or sister, to pray with you, just ask. After the service, find somebody to pray with you. Because God doesn't want us to experience death. He doesn't want us to sow and be reaping this death. He wants us to sow in the Spirit of God so we can reap the life that is everlasting, so we can reap blessing. So that's the challenge I leave with you. God bless you.